back or whatever, to try and get those kind of meetings are very tough. If you've got a representative or a couple representatives or spokesmen that can say they're representing a couple hundred thousand, 300,000, 400,000 Vietnam veterans, that's the way you can get in the door. And then they have the means, and also if they hardball you to do something about it. Frankly, if they really play hardball, I turn Richard Jones on them, and I want to turn Tank on them when I work with people a bit more. We got together, and we picked out 8 goals. And I'm just going to quickly read the 8 goals of the National Vietnam Veterans Coalition. The first one is to enhance public recognition of the service of Vietnam veterans. The second is maximum relief for Agent Orange victims. The third, return of POWs and accountability for MIAs. Fourth, appointment of Vietnam veterans to government policy-making positions. Fifth, ensuring priority government loans and contracts for Vietnam veterans. Sixth, secure meaningful job programs for Vietnam veterans. Seven, obtain political support from the national political parties for Vietnam veterans. And eighth, judicial review of Veterans Administration benefit decisions. Now, while it was the consensus of the leadership that by far this was not all the only issues of concern to Vietnam veterans, but it was the only ones that those of us who are spokesmen for the coalition had the mandate from the leaders of the independent groups that are part of the coalition to speak on. So, for instance, I did not take a public stance as coordinator of the National Vietnam Veterans Coalition on the Congress, whether I'm for or against, I can't see them, because I don't have the mandate from the leaders, the 27 leaders of the coalition. If I felt that was appropriate to say something or another, I'd have to get the clearance of the 27 leaders to do that. But on the other 8 issues, we don't do it. We have a blanket thing so we can be a striking light force. We have to. I'll give you a perfect example. When Mr. Armitage came back recently from Noi from his discussions, which he called meaningful, he just came back and gave a press conference with Coffee Underwears. CNN contacted me, said, because we had a Vietnam vet doing that, called us, said, you wouldn't believe the garbage you just heard from Armitage. Can you get over here and give us a national policy statement to run all over the country? If I had to have a board of directors meeting and, call all the leaders to get there conferring on what I was going to say, we just never made it. So I got over there, and some of you probably, I know some of you really saw it, and we gave out an answer to it. So all over the United States, we got our message at the same time Armitage was getting in. But there's, in the Washington scheme of things, there was another message. You know, a guy like Armitage, Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security, who's over the Defense Intelligence Agency and so forth, presidential appointee. Now, he doesn't like being matched against me. He likes to feel like he's far above that. When the media matches us as his counterpoint, it escalates the importance of the Vietnam veterans and what we had to say. And they were very concerned when we got a message out like that. So that's an example of how we function. We basically work very well with the media. We have very heavy credibility. Frankly, I had one day, for instance, a producer at CBS Evening News meet with me for a whole day on the investigation. Everything we had to tell him, actually chucked out, we didn't embellish, we didn't exaggerate. So he told me, he said, if you need someone on CBS Evening News, call me at this number, my private number, you got it. And that's a big one. That's a big one when you want to do something. So we don't waste it, we make sure we got it right. So, but if you think about some things that you've seen around the country, now, it takes a lot of people to make it happen, but you know, you certainly know that you know Casanova. We worked with Operation Second Crusade on that. A lot of you remember the handcuffing of the White House fence, pictures around the country, get our message out. And incidentally, that's not just casually done. This is talking about having functional. First, we had permits to do that. Secondly, we had it worked out with the prosecutors to drop all charges. We call it the South African Embassy deal. We had lawyers to take care of that aspect of it if it was necessary. And frankly, we spent an awful lot of time in a bidding war between the White House Secret Service and the Park Police because each of them wanted to handle the gig. You see, we've got a lot of Vietnam vets among those guys. And the Park Service, what kind of gig it is, I'm going to let you know a little bit how it works, the considerations. I'm taking a moment longer to mention them, so I'll go on. The Park Service the Secret Service would have had to take them down to DC jail for an hour, and they wanted a $75 fine before we had it wiped off. And the Park Service went out because they gave us a brand new facility, 10 minutes, and $10 fine before it was thrown out. So we took the Park Service deal, and we worked out who was going to be dragged and curried, and we gave them the keys to the handcuffs in advance. They agreed to let us have 20 minutes of media. We were appreciative of the media and the BBC News and all that for being there to make sure our message got out. We also made sure that the President of the United States knew that we had hooked up to his fence out there. And that's in itself an accomplishment because, you know, those people are very isolated. They don't know much what's happening. And it takes a lot of people to do that. This doesn't happen. So everybody got something. There are some people who want to handcuff themselves to the White House fence as long as we get it worked out right. They're lawyers, and they're people who work in the media, like John Evans sitting here on my left, and people like Doc Raymond, who works with all the groups out there, and John Malloy, and Release, and all up in New York. We all do it together to make it happen. That's what the coalition's about. There are no dudes in the coalition, no board of directors to tell you what to do. We just get together like this, we communicate with each other, we get to know each other, and it's voluntary. We like to keep each other informed. I'm a clearing, I, Bill Bennett, in Washington, we're a clearing house of information. That way, if somebody says, I've got a media thing going on, and you get 15 best CIA documents that are not classified, I can turn it over to them, they will further express it to you. No. So we gotta move it. We gotta do it. At this time, I'd like to have our first speaker. And we have the primary introduction made by the premier in exile of South Vietnam. But I'm going to give a little preliminary. I think you probably have some feeling of the neatness that we have these three gentlemen together. Who are going to be introduced to? We're going to have, as you know, His Excellency Hin Chen, the former president of Cambodia and the president in exile of Cambodia. We have the president in exile of Laos. We have the premier in exile of Vietnam. And they've got a message. They want to talk some about POWs. They have some general message they want to give you. They want to talk about the resistance. We also have a political message that we'll discuss later. It's basically the Vietnam vets and Indo-Chinese community, the United States, now together. Because that's the only way we're going to get anything resolved in Washington is via black vote. And we'll talk more about that. First, I would like to introduce His Excellency Lay Park. Who is former senator from the Republic of South Vietnam, former minister of the Republic of South Vietnam. He was not one of the gentlemen that jumped the helicopter when the Saigon fell. He was there to the very last, barely escaping with his life. And also the premier in exile of South Vietnam and my friend, Dr. Lee. We call him Dr. Lee. First speaker, general primary speaker. No, he's a primary speaker in his own right. He's also going to introduce General Boswell.
Mr. Chairman, leaders of Vietnam veterans, several years ago, the Indo-Chinese Coalition for a Free Indochina was formed with the purpose of liberating Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia from communist domination. Representing Cambodia is Honorable Chen Hien. Representing Laos is General Kem Ho Busarat. Minister of the Laos Fighting Government. Representing Vietnam in the coalition is myself, Dr. Lee Phuc Chan, who served first of all as a Wahana resistance fighter against the communists in the forest, in the Maki, before the nationalist government was formed, and as a military officer in the Republic of Vietnam Armed Forces, altogether for about 20 years. Later, as presiding judge, as senior cabinet minister, as father and president of a university for the poor people in the Mekong Delta, and as a senator and majority leader. Three of us are co-president in the Indo-Chinese Coalition in order to take care of the need for liaison and coordination and planning. I have been asked by my two friends to act as Secretary General of the Coalition. Three of us have stayed united in everything we do. In the last two presidential elections, three of us agreed to serve as our Nationality Chairman and Reagan Bush Committee, mobilizing our people to vote for the Republican ticket. Three of us have formed the Republican Network in our Nationality Group. Three of us have focused our effort on resistance movement inside Indo-Chinese countries. On behalf of the coalition and speaking for Honorable Chang Han as well as for General Campbell Busara, I have been in permanent contact with Chairman Thornburg, pursuing the role of creating a framework for the Vietnam Veteran Coalition and the Indo-Chinese Coalition to work together in order to have a stronger and more effective voice in everything we do. Today, standing in front of you, Mr. Chairman and leaders of the U.S. Vietnam Veterans, we, Chang Han, Kem Hu Pusara, and Lee Phuc San, respectfully hope that we will take concrete steps in working together for our common cause. By working together, we will have better chance to achieve our goal in terms of liberating Indo-Chinese countries, as well as in terms of liberating our friends and our comrades in arms left behind in the hands of our enemies. Thank you.
Meeting. First of all, I would like
be done myself. I'm sure I'm going to start the former commander of the Air Force Division of the Royal Russian Army and former Director General of the National Security Service of Laos. I am currently Prime Minister of the Laos Government in Exile, co-president of Front for the Liberation of Laos and Free Indochina. Before mentioning the life of the prisoner of war, I would like to talk about the Vietnam or Indochinese war. Many strategic theoricians write that war is the bloody extension of politics and that politics is war without the spilling of blood. Both cases have the same goal, that the adversary conform to our wishes on four points: political, economical, military, and sociological point of view. But do we have to execute according to the design of the opponent? Number one, in 1965, we had bombarded the strategic point of Hanoi to stop the communist aggression in South Vietnam, Cambodia, and Laos. The opponents were at the point of losing, so they protest at the United Nations on humanitarian grounds. We then stopped bombing North Vietnam. Number two, for the second time, we had manned the port of Haiphong to stop the supply of weapons and war material from the Soviet Union. This time, the so-called humanitarian fleet had no effect. However, we had taken the mines out of the port of Haiphong according to the opponent's request for the second time. Number three, finally, we stopped the support of South Vietnam by the Soviet Union mass and own our effort to end the war in conquest. Let us discuss the preparation for nuclear war. When the Soviet Union met its nuclear strategy, nobody said anything. However, when we prepared it, the World War cries that is human to prepare the nuclear war. We forget that the stronger promise is always the better. It is clear to us on the veteran side, we have to help the country explaining to the American people that the American people and the United States of America are leaders of the free world. On the Russian side and the Indochinese side, those of us seeking refuge in this great country enjoy many benefits which demand a great deal of effort to be good citizens, who work, pay taxes, and don't live on a bed or food stamps. One of us lying on the free world side respect the law and international treaties which the communists never respect. As veterans, we know what is wrong and what is right with the communists. We have to prepare to make 1986 the year of comprehension. We have to help the American people to think with a good moral foundation. We have to prepare good men in the House of Representatives, in the municipal and state government, in the Congress, and in the White House. We have experience and first-hand knowledge of the communists. We need a man like President Reagan. He is conservative, he knows the communists, and he is working to stop communist aggression against Afghanistan, Nicaragua, Cambodia, Indochina, and the rest of the world. President Reagan knows that he has no choice but to stand against communist terrorist aggression to the Soviet province Libya. The president has to take this stand in order to preserve American security, economic, and the democratic political system. We need the man who knows the communists in the House of Representatives, Congress, Senate, state, and municipal government. We have no choice in the question. I am the leader of the free world. In the world of Shakespeare, to be or not to be, that is the question. It seems apparent the man's admiration for the grand spectacle of nature in any the admiration of strength in the mountain. There also must stand against the forces of nature and are beaten in sharp into the beach. We admit
Advanced Hanoi, with permission to control of the Viet Cong combatant in Cambodia and South Vietnam. They had just returned from Cambodia and South Vietnam, passed by Hanoi and high peak of Musa and the Juan Thanh Dinh, North Vietnam. The Ho Chi Minh train and the Sihanouk train were complete by 1964 with many depots and their houses filled with war material subsequently placed along the route. In addition to this, my first paratroop battalion, we arrested many North Vietnamese soldiers that had married Laos and girls living in this area. Our primary mission was to search as destroyed the Viet Cong military depot and their houses. I addressed my report to the chief of staff and to the chief of the French mission. My battalion had found and captured many soldiers and 17 depots stuffed and filled with war material. Interrogation and intelligence determined that the Viet Cong would be back to Laos, Cambodia, and South Vietnam. At this time, we began to prepare for the Viet Cong offensive that was sure to come. It was not until 1965 that the entire world had heard of the Ho Chi Minh train of evil. That train had been prepared for the return of soldiers fighting in Cambodia and South Vietnam since 1954. 1956, foreign policy, North Vietnam had openly supported the National Liberation Front of South Vietnam using the Ho Chi Minh train as a path to bring the offensive south to Laos, Cambodia, and South Vietnam. The United States waited until 1965 to begin strategic bombing of North Vietnam. France, after losing the Indochinese War and signing the Geneva Accord, asked for the return of the French pre-ordered troops and accountability for the MIA in North Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, and South Vietnam. The United States of America, after losing the Vietnam War, had no treaty or agreement between the two parties. The North Vietnamese, clearly the winner of the war, have chosen to do as they please concerning the American POW and MIA. Just before the collapse of Laos, my last minute information is that the communist leadership intended to make POW and MIA an important issue. With the American Institute of Negotiation, I did not clearly understand what they would do. However, on the basis of information provided by our resistance network, as well as by our Laotian refugees, I know that there are three Americans in their hands. I have checked with the Vietnamese and the Cambodian resistance leaders. The confirmation is the same. I am confident that something could be done if they loosely sit down and talk about this in concert effort. They have used and condition to use the MIA issue to press the USSR in strategic problems and use the POW as harm to extort payment of restitution for war damages. We have been working very closely with Dr. Lee Phuc Sat, the most important and effective leadership of the Vietnamese resistance movement. He is also the leader of Hoa Hao Sek, the most anti-communist group in Vietnam. Dr. Lee Phuc Sat and I will go to see, and we will set up a communist Vietnamese Laotian fighting forces working together. We will have joint staff and joint command. When Dr. Lee Phuc Sat and I stay in C, Honorable Cheng Heng will take his place like General Secretary. And he will represent us in the country. We believe we will be able to achieve, and we believe we will be in the position to be helped in terms of looking for MIA and POW. I sincerely suggest that there will be shows cooperation between Vietnamese veteran leadership and our Indochinese leadership in order to serve the same goal. Our Indochinese coalition leadership needs your help for the accomplishment of our mission. As Dr. Lee Phuc Sat has suggested, we would more detailed talk with Vietnam Veteran Coalition leadership, since Dr. Le Phat Phat is the Secretary General of World Coalition, he will be the contact man for us whenever you want a meeting or talk. It has been an honor to speak to you, Honorable Men, who stand with me against the evil aggressor. I appreciate this opportunity and thank you for your attention.
How many of you feel that we can support these men and their freedom fighter efforts? If you raise your hand if you feel like